It's 9:31 on a Thursday, and once again, time for Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Uncensored, the show where we tackle critical issues affecting our region. On today's show, we'll be discussing the draft budget for the coming financial year that in municipalities start on the 1st of July. Last week, Guadacouza's mayor, Alan Geedy, tabled a 3.3 billion rand budget with operating costs of 2.95 billion and 367 million in capital. So joining me today to discuss the details of the draft budget, we have caucus leaders of the two main opposition parties in council, the DA's Privy McCann and Action SA's Nell Siraj. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Penny, and good morning to the listeners of 88 FM. Great to be on this platform again.
Yeah. So, Nell, I'm just going to quickly explain. So, for the first time in 20 years, Guadacouza Municipality presented a deficit adjustment budget in February with a shortfall of nearly just over 200 million. We're going to discuss that later on and the impact it has had. And obviously, I was having a pre-discussion with Privy, and we were talking about zero-based budgeting. We're going to also have to unpack that. But now let's get back to the bigger picture of how the budget affects you, the ratepayer. Privy, I'm going to hand it over to you to break down the proposed new tariffs for us and explain the increases. And then we're going to also hand it over to Niall to see what the stances are on both the position parties.
Sure. Yes. Thanks again, Penny. Yeah. So obviously for most of the listeners that are informed in terms of how budget cycle works, so municipal budget cycle works from the 1st of July to the 30th of June. And the process now is the draft process. So a draft budget comes to council in terms of legislation before the end of March. Political parties make contribution and then it goes out for public comment. What we've seen this year is quite interesting. And I think we've had quite an aligned position on one of the components in that we've seen yet again that the budget is done and crafted by a budget steering committee that comprises of one single political party. And what we want to remind the listeners of 88 FM, but the people across all 30 wards in Guadacouza, is the budget belongs to them. It doesn't belong to the ANC. And if you look at how the budget is comprised of this year, various IDP submissions and the needs of the people of the ground haven't translated into this draft budget. Yeah. To unpack the tariffs very, very quickly, what has happened this year, and that's why I said it's quite interesting, is a 0% a tariff increase has been proposed on rates.
Yes.
But what they're doing, what the budget steering committee did, was they reduced the rebate. So ordinarily, there's a property a rebate on your rates, a 25% rebate. And what they've done this year is reduce the rebate from 25% to 18%, which means a 7% reduction in that rebate. But how that translates is if you add the 7% reduction in the rebate, 7.3% proposed increase in refuse, and the 10.7% proposed increase on electricity. I mean, I'm not a mathematician and neither is Nell, but if you do a quick calculation, I think that translates to about 9% increase, which I think is double CPI. CPI is sitting at probably just around 4%. So for me, that's a little bit misleading. And I think if you want to implement an increase, just be transparent and implement an increase.
It's almost like they were spinning it, like 0% increase.
And Penny, that is why public participation, which is the cornerstone of our democracy, is so important in this process that communities need to go out and make their views heard.
Yeah. Well, we're going to just discuss that later on. Nell, what are your stances in terms of Action SA's stance on this budget when it was presented at council last week?
Well, good morning to yourself, Penny, to Dave, to the listeners. We got to understand where this budget comes from and why, firstly, we've landed in a deficit. So in terms of a deficit budget, we did look at, we had some concerns and reservations at first. But then you realize it's the best that can be done.
currently, the current budget.
The current budget, yeah. The 25-26.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Can I just for the listeners who don't understand what deficit budget means, is that the municipality doesn't have enough revenue to cover its planned spending, forcing it to rely on debt. Just to clarify that, yes. So continue.
Yes, you're correct. So it's an unfunded budget.
Yeah.
But if you recall, with our adjustments budget in February, that was also a deficit budget. That was a first. That was a first in almost 20 years.
It's unbelievable.
This municipality. And I think the CFO arrived back then. And he kind of brought this municipality financially in the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, if you indulge me, I could go into the background. Yeah. If you look at the timeline, the CFO set the 23-24 budget.
Yeah.
It was a top budget. It worked out well. Kwadukusa municipality fared well. But as soon as that budget was approved, 23-24, 40 days later, the CFO was suspended.
Yeah. And what was the repercussion of that suspension?
So the repercussions were that whilst he was suspended,
yeah.
We needed to put the 24-25 budget together. And if you look at the 24-25 budget, when we put that together, that already had a deficit. Now, it was not indicated, made clear to us. But where we saw it was in the adjustments budget that we had to do in February.
So
we realized that we had actually last year approved a budget that was heading in a deficit direction.
Budget, basically.
Yeah. And there's reasons. I could give you reasons for maybe why I think that we ended up in a deficit budget, but maybe that will be for
maybe
later.
Maybe you can maybe hear it from both sides as well, because there is an
And then after the approval of the 24-25 budget last year in May, I think it was about a month later that the CFO returned to work.
Yeah.
So there was an entire year where the budget, you know, there was a shuffling in the finance department and the budget steering committee, and really, you know, things went off there.
Yeah.
And the CFO has his work cut out for him. It's going to take at least 1 to 2 years for us to recover from this deficit.
Yeah. So when you look at budget. When you look at this budget now, and they've implemented some austerity measures. I mean, I was reading through some of the measures they've implemented in the electricity department. They said they needed to curtail emergency after hours work. There was a security cost reduction, 30 million they've asked to reduce the security budget, maintenance plan, and the use of contracted services. They want to curtail that. Refuse contract renegotiation. We spent 15 million rand a month on that contract for refuse. So they want to relook at that contract. And then there's also a moratorium on filling new posts, which they're going to put a freeze on it. And there was a data cleansing project. They said 14 million. Now, Privy, we've got an electricity loss that is impacting our municipality. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. So Penny, one of the interesting things that we have seen, or two interesting things that we've seen in this budget, the first one is a 176 million rand reduction in bulk purchases, in the budgeting for bulk purchases.
What does that mean?
So that would be the money that is allocated to purchase electricity from Eskom on an annual basis.
Wow.
So I think the budget is just over 1.4 billion. Mm. But the municipality has been hemorrhaging money on energy loss.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of this financial year, which will be the 30th of June, I think energy loss will probably sit at close to half a billion rand. So it will currently it's around 440. So it should sit at half a billion rand. I am concerned, and our political party certainly is concerned, in terms of how the 1.4 billion was informed and how the reduction in your bulk purchases was informed. Because if you've never implemented a single energy loss strategy, it clearly indicates that this is bad planning in terms of how this amount was arrived at. So that's the first aspect. The 30 million rand reduction in security costs, we definitely support that, because we've been relentless in our calls to say, don't allocate money to go and protect politicians, allocate money to protect municipal infrastructure.
Which is so critical.
Absolutely.
Caesar's having the same issue.
The other aspect of the moratorium on your vacancies, we don't support a moratorium on the vacancies in the electricity department, because that's a critical service delivery business unit.
Yes.
They have a 41% vacancy rate in that department, and those vacancies must be filled by people that are fit for purpose.
Yeah.
What we want to call for is a moratorium being placed on political appointments in the offices of the mayors and deputy mayors and all those political yeah. office bearers. So there's glaring anomalies in this budget. And now the Budget Steering Committee have an exercise to do. They have an exercise to do in terms of the IDP roadshow and to take information out of the budget roadshows and to take information out of the proposals that we as opposition parties have mm. made in council and to go back and do a budget that's right by the people yeah. of Guadaguza. Because that 15-point energy loss strategy, so they brought one to council 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Not one of those strategies has been implemented.
Will this affect the new Dukuza station? Because they've said there's strategies in place. You know, this the issues that we've had in December and beginning of the year with power outages, this is going to be sorted because the load is going to be carried by this new station. So if you're telling me they're doing cuts in that, is this going to possibly affect the budget? Because that is also way beyond, you know, they were supposed to complete
sure.
that.
So the Dukuza substation, so the two big substations, yes. the SAPI upgrade and the Dukuza upgrade, or the commissioning of the Dukuza substation will yeah. not be impacted by this budget.
Okay.
Those are capital projects
yeah.
and they're multi-year projects. The budget for Dukuza comes from National Treasury. So it was 240 okay. million rand allocation. And that is still in place as a multi-year project.
But I did see it was not catered for loan funding. They said the electricity business unit had not catered for loan funding on the Dukuza substation in the new coming financial year. But we will see what that means.
Yes.
Nell, how are you looking at these austerity measures that are in, need to be introduced? Now, I mean, these are going to be impacting the pocket of the ratepayer and the service delivery in our region.
Yeah, I think, you know, besides the austerity measures that you have yeah. mentioned, I think there's others in place as well. There's been a cut on the budget directed to social programs, for example. And that was something that the mayor brought up. And he needs to be commended as well, because I think that even in his office, he has cut the budget. And, you know, he's leading by
well,
example.
Well, he should. 300,000 on car hire. I mean, that was...
Per month.
Yeah, per month. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's trying to make up for that.
Possibly. But we also got to understand that he was also not in office
yes.
when those deficit budgets were approved yes. and things. And so both him and the CFO come at a difficult time in
they
the municipality.
They inherited a mess, actually.
And yes, they did. And so we begin to see that. We're glad about even the moratorium.
Yeah.
But like Pravi mentioned, not on service delivery,
especially
direct service delivery departments.
Electricity.
No. But also, you know, what previously brought us into an unfunded budget, what were the contributing factors was one, that also we did not have cost-effective tariffs. I mean, we were all opposing it as political
yeah,
parties,
what does
but
that
now
mean
we realize
that
means you need a budget.
Yeah.
You need the tariffs to be revenue for a budget
yeah.
That will allow the municipality to have, you know, to meet its operational costs and
okay.
operate at optimum. And and sometimes, yeah, we always, as political parties, we are, you know, we are with the people.
Yes.
And so we are trying to curb tariffs on every level. And then sometimes we do it, but then we place the entire organization, you know, at a deficit.
Yeah. You know, there was also, for me, I was astounded that Guadaguza lost 8.9 million in grant funding due to poor performance. I mean, that is just poor financial mismanagement. And I mean, why are the residents going to be paying for this? Because they were not able to manage the funds given from National Treasury. Pravi, do you want to address
yeah.
that?
So, Penny, I think that is certainly attributed to how supply chain processes in local government work and bureaucratic red tape. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, the residents of Guadaguza are now going to be paying for administrative red tape. And we've always said that supply chain processes in local government are actually, you know, like the playground for politically connected. And one of the things that we have been calling for going forward, so in fact, we've been doing it historically, is for grant funding to be spent within the timelines of their conditions.
Yeah.
And you'll see now in the new financial year, there's a 60 million rand allocation towards MIG funding. So that's yeah. municipal infrastructure grant funding. And those are for projects, you know, social facilities, and all of that. And if you want to do right, again, by the people of Kwadugusa, that has to be spent within the contractual timelines of
And then you bring it back to accountability. You know, there's been a provision. I know this is not going to sit well because you guys are part of the council. 8% increase in staff remuneration costs. Now, we're looking at executive directors who've been running departments so badly and so badly mismanaged. And it just, I don't know how irked it makes me to think that they are going to be getting a bonus and an increase at the end of the year. Well, the ratepayers are going to be footing this disaster. And especially when we have a 0.1% growth nationally, we are already financially strained. What is the meaning of that? Surely, possibly civic organizations should be raising that and as part of the austerity measures. You know, an 8% increase is way above the norm right now in this economic climate.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you look at our entire operational budget, 22% is directed to staff.
Yeah, can I just say that equates to 607 million rand salary bill. So I also wanted to add that they had an overtime bill. We had a standby allowance of 58 million, and the overtime bill was also crazy. So this is all part of these measures that I didn't feel were being addressed.
Yeah, the two major contributors to the unfunded and deficit budget, to the place we find ourselves now, was energy losses.
Yes.
And that was you spoke about that. And also, especially in the adjustments budget that we approved in February, the other contributing factor there was repairs and maintenance.
Okay.
We had these lines assorted, substations, power outages during the festive season and all of that.
Yeah.
And so that was a major contributor, major costs incurred. And it took us into a deficit.
Okay. And you know, Privy, what do you say to that with in terms of austerity? Would the DA support, you know, a freeze on salary?
So Penny, I think that's twofold. So the first one is the increases are, so a council is bound by the collective bargaining council agreement. We have always been of the view as a DA that performance bonuses must be
earned.
Yes. You must award a performance bonus based on performance. And you don't see that. You don't see that in multiple business units. There are some EDs that are extraordinary at their jobs. Yeah. And there are some that are simply failing and that have caused this municipality to be in the financial position that it's in. So our position is, if we are bound by the terms of a collective bargaining council agreement, there are also mechanisms within that agreement to say if your municipality is not in a financial position to pay bonuses or increases, you can actually apply for an exemption.
Yeah.
And that's an exercise that the Budget Steering Committee or MANCO need to go out and
do.
And
that, I mean, facing this current budget, I mean, you'd think that would be the obvious choice right now, especially with an 8% hike. I'm going to come in now and play the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. I reached out to the chairman of DOCRA, Dion Fulyun, and he explained to me DOCRA's stance on the draft budget, and this is what he had to say.
Hi, Penny, and hi to your listeners. DOCRA will once again be doing a comprehensive analysis of the draft budget that KDM announced last week, Thursday, in the council meeting, and which is available for comment at the moment. The big takeaway this year is that after 3 years of trying, the municipalities eventually agreed to not increase the randage of the budget of the rates and taxes, but to rather cut back on the rebate of 25% that we all have. This makes our destination a lot more competitive, amongst other benefits that this has as well. But quite sneaky and actually disingenuous, the municipality has now come up with a, if you calculate it, a 9.33% rates increase, which we find totally unacceptable, and I'm sure the community as well. We are certainly not going to be funding the electricity losses, and a 9.33% is more than double of what the current inflation rate is, and if you look at all the other tariffs that are increasing as well, it is just not affordable. And we at the moment have a pretty good collection rate, as a matter of fact, a very good collection rate of rates and taxes from the community. And with these kind of increases, I don't know if that collection rate will be maintained, and quite understandably so as well. So that is our main concern. But there are a lot of other details in the budget that we'll be addressing as well. The big challenge is that it's an incremental budget. So it's what we did last year. We're just doing more of the same, or a little bit less here, a little bit more there. And it's certainly not a zero-based budget, which is what is required by law. And looking with fresh eyes, if you look at the trends over the last few years, it's always over-budgeting, underspending on operational expenses, underspending on capital expenses, putting the money in the reserve, then using that reserve for the next year for new capital expenses and so on. So, and then the alarming thing is that they are tending to under-budget in certain areas, such as electricity losses, which then means yet you get an adjustment budget like we did this year, where 223 million had to be taken from reserves to try and balance the budget for the end of the year. So we're going deeper into debt, and the plan's just not working. There's ample opportunity to avoid a 9.3% increase by just doing a couple of things smarter, not least of which is the electricity losses that has to be curbed. And that increase can very easily be saved there. I'd like to remind everybody that next week on Wednesday, I think it is, the 9th of April, there's going to be a imbizo at the Umhlali Prep, and I'd like you to save the date. We really need to turn up in our numbers. DOCRA will be there and be presenting our objections and input and suggestions on the budget. But we really need the community to support us. So please save the date of the 9th of April, and looking forward to see you there in big numbers to help us get the point across that a 9.33% rates increase is just not going to be accepted by the community.
Yeah. Privy.
Yes.
Yes. You know, with RDP and public participation, what is the main drive to try and get everybody in our community to be active and not passive in this critical point in our, you know, year?
Yeah, Penny, I think I can't overemphasize the importance of public participation. And I think communities need to be made aware of two things, that how projects are informed and how your money is spent is done as a result of active participation and active citizenry. We are very lucky here on the South that we have a very strong leading civic body who drive the mandate of the people, and I think we have opposition parties that are collectively strong in our position. And I want to, very similar to what Dion has said, is to encourage every single informed citizen, every single citizen that wants to effect change in Kwadugusa and ensure that their rand is spent where it's supposed to be spent, to attend that meeting. Because we have been very, very firm in our view in council in terms of what we would do differently and what we would propose in terms of an alternative to this budget.
Yeah.
And I think communities are in a position now to make their proposals heard as well.
Yeah. Now, you know, they talk about public participation, and then you know, Privy's talking about the budget steering committee and lack of public participation. Do you think, you know, everyone says, oh, you know what, we go there, nothing happens. Is this, you know, fallacy, or is this correct? What can we do that could affect some sort of change by a massive public participation?
I think what the members of public should do immediately, they should go onto the website, kwadukuza.gov.za, download the 25-26 budget, go through it, especially the executive statement and so forth, and come with the questions, because this mayoral imbizo is a budget mayoral imbizo. And we'll be there, and we'll ensure that their voices are heard, because it's their platform.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing they can do, and then they could submit comments. And I think the comments go, deadline is 30 days before the new budget comes into effect. So it should be End of May.
Yeah. Right. And you know, with the alternative, if you had to look at an alternative budget, would you guys do things a little bit differently as well now? Or is this such a challenging budget based on last year's?
Yes, it's a bit
mess.
Of a difficult time. The things I like, I mean, it seems like doom and gloom for the residents.
Yes, it's very bleak.
But there has been some movement. I mean, we talk about a sneaky, but I think it needs to be mentioned and brought out. But a cost effective tariffs are required at this time.
Yeah.
At this time. Maybe for the next year or two.
Yeah.
They're identifying the reduction in budgets to non-core service delivery programs, and that's good. There's significant curtailing of expenditure, as we discussed. There's a reduction of internally funded capital projects.
Yeah.
There has to be. There's also, in terms of the energy losses, the bringing forward and the composition of a energy loss task team has to be effective. And there's another program, I think, and you'll hear more about it, will be rolled out from, I think, the 1st of June, the National Treasury's RT 2024. That will do end-to-end smart metering throughout the municipality, especially for large
users. Implemented properly.
No, it's being approved, and I think 257 municipalities have to have it.
Okay.
And it's gonna be very good for us in terms of identifying ghost vendors, making sure that large power users, which is a major source of our energy losses as well, that energy loss is curtailed there. And I think that RT29 program is really going to be beneficial.
Yeah, and Privy, what are your last thoughts on
this? Thanks. So, Penny, I think we would propose probably four or five different things. So the first one would be, I mentioned a 60 million rand allocation towards from MEG towards projects. I think we would suggest that some of that budget is allocated to economic nodes, which would then unlock economic growth and create some jobs in those in the Kwadugusa environment. The second one would be your private-public partnership. So we would encourage going out to the private sector and developing partnerships, because that would then, especially in terms of rolling out of capital infrastructure, because that would reduce how council would then be using internal money for capital projects.
Yeah.
The other thing we would say is create a strong focus on curbing energy loss to fix a broken electricity model. And then billing. So there are various indigent areas that are not being billed for refuse.
Yeah.
And you could generate revenue by actually billing and having a user pay principle. So if you get a service, you pay for a service.
Yeah.
Penny, and then the last one would be just to be a consumer sensitive or sensitive municipality to the economic position of Kwadugusa. And currently, if you have property to the value of 150,000 rand or below, you're exempt from paying property rates.
Yeah.
And we would encourage that value is actually increased to 300,000. So if you have a property to the value of 300,000 and less, you're exempt from paying rates. That's one of our proposals. Because I think, Penny, as a council collective, we have a prerogative, no matter how limited our powers are, to ensure that the people of Kwadugusa are actually looked after, you know.
And especially
so that would
the
be our proposals,
We are already burdened. I know we are actually facing a massive news cycle now. The MK got a position in council from the win at the Ward 28 yesterday. So that's going to shift politics big time in the municipality. We're going to, you know, keep an eye on that. But I think the conversations will continue. The draft budget is now open for public comment. You need to make your voices heard, need to make representation through our civic organization, DOCRA. So on Wednesday, the public meeting is going to take place here at the Mshlali Hall, and everyone's encouraged to participate in that. And we're going to keep this conversation going and see how it unpacks. Thanks for joining me, Privy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you, Dave.
And you've been listening to Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security, as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.